Morning. Thank you for joining as always. This is the third in our series on Avodat Ha'ilan during Shemitah, work that you do to help grow and cultivate trees during the Shemitah year. Previous two shiurim, we focused on the concept of noteya, planting trees. And today we're going to focus on the concept of zomer, which is pruning. Before I do get into the crux of that, let me just note that today's shiur has been dedicated by Dr. Adrian Woodrow, Dr. Beth Niven and Mark Ziering, and Cindy and Esther Balevi from Our Day of Giving. And of course, we always appreciate any contributions to our learning, and we thank them very much for that. So before we get into the more intensive Torah portion of our talk today, it's important to discuss the nature of pruning. Why do we prune vines and trees? Now, as you might have guessed, I'm not actually an expert on tree growing. I know it's a shock, I know, but I'm not. I've never actually done this before. So I thought just for a minute I'd share what I saw with you. I have a helpful picture over here.
Can you bring your pruning shears?
What did you say? Oh, no, I didn't. But I do know that's a thing, though. So I don't have any. But let me just share this picture with you. Hopefully you can see it. So here we have a little – it's important to note the makeup of a vine. So we're going to talk about pruning vines and pruning trees, and they're actually different. And it's important to keep the differences in mind as we go along. So here you have a picture of a vine. That's what that is. And keep in mind what you have on the top of your screen there. There are various parts of the, what you call branches, that emanate from the vine where the grapes grow. You have the cordon, which is that long sort of big branch where everything grows from. You have the arms that emanate from the cordon. And then from those arms are shoots or canes. And then you see if you look at the other side, from those little notches in the shoots or canes, the clusters of grapes, the grape bunches grow. So what is pruning? Why do we prune vines? So again, I have a link for you here. I can put the link in the chat if you happen to be very interested in the art of pruning. But why do we prune? So I have heard from Yvonne Nardat as follows. Dormant pruning is a critical component of the grape production system. It provides a mechanism to maintain the training system, allows them to select the fruiting wood, and to manipulate the potential quality of fruit produced. You're actually controlling how much fruit and what type of fruit your vine produces by pruning. That's really important to keep in mind. After all the permanent vine structures are developed, an annual pruning is done during the dormant season to remove the previous year's fruiting canes and excess vulnerable canes. Why? That's because after 1 year, they're no longer productive. Because of the way grapevines grow and produce fruit, growers must prune annually. Fruit is only produced on shoots growing from one-year-old canes. Therefore, canes must be produced every year. The training system is designed to encourage the production of new fruiting canes in specific positions of the vine. Pruning should be done to selectively remove unsuitable or extraneous canes by retaining a small number of good canes. Cane selection functions with fruitful shoots, and to produce healthy shoots, good pruning can be selected in the current season. What we see here is that pruning vines is incredibly important. It's not simply an aesthetic thing that you're doing to make your vine look prettier. In order for the vines to grow upward, they need to be trained, and there is only so many nutrients that can reach each shoot of the vine, and leaving vines and shoots that are no longer productive will harm both your vine and the fruit it produces. And therefore, it's very fundamental. And you can actually control how many grapes and clusters your vine produces by pruning. There's a very particular way you do it also. So that's in terms of vines. What about trees? So it's also important to prune trees, but it's a bit different. So here I have a number of reasons to prune. You prune to eliminate weak limbs. To if there's a sort of a shortage of room on the tree and the branches sort of cross each other and get in each other's way, you cut off some of the branches in order to prevent that from happening, to eliminate then disease branches, to improve appearance, and also to prevent the spread of diseases and insects, to revitalize older trees, to increase air circulation, and, you know, sometimes if you're walking in, you know, your backyard and you're afraid someone's going to trip or bump into a branch, you may decide to cut off a branch. So these are all some reasons to prune your trees and vines. And they're going to be important as we go along. It's going to matter why and what exactly you're doing. Although all of these seem like, to me, the same general idea of cutting stuff off of the tree so that it grows better, it actually isn't all the same. It actually makes a difference. Why and what exactly you're doing, as we will see. Before I go on, does everyone have the source sheet? Should I attach it? I guess it looks like everyone has it. Okay, so what is Z-more specifically? Now that we have all these types of reasons that you prune and things that you cut off, what specifically is Z-more referred to in the Torah? So we have here in Torah number one, the pasuk from Vayikra in Bahar, where the Torah says, on the seventh year, you will have a Shabbat for the land, Shabbat LaHashem, a Shabbat to God, Tzarcha lo tizra, v'karmacha lo tizmor. You shall not seed your field, and you should not prune your vineyard. Now, just notice from the get-go, you notice a difference between planting and pruning, right? When we talk about pruning, sorry, planting, what can't you plant? What does the Torah say you can't plant? You can't plant your field. When it says you can't prune your vineyard. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's limited to vineyard, but it's certainly interesting and important that that's the type of pruning the Torah refers to explicitly. We'll have to keep that in mind as we go along. Rashi, in defining this word, lo sezmor, says as follows, shekot sesin zimoroteha, that you cut the zimorot, which can be translated as the branches or specifically the arms of the vineyard, betargamo lo sechsach. And we'll get to that lashon of kisua later. So that's what you're doing. You're cutting vines from the vineyard. That's the context of it. This gets complicated because we have a number of different terms in Chazal that all seem to basically be talking about cutting branches off trees. Yet there are so many terms, and it's not just that there are many terms, but it seems that only one of them is zimor. And the question is twofold. How do you determine which is which? And why don't we say it's all the same idea? You know, it's all helping trees grow. Like on Shabbos, for instance, and obviously this is not necessarily so simple to compare Shabbos to Shvius, but on Shabbos, we say things are kula malacha achasim. It's all the same idea. Okay, so how exactly do you do it is a good question. But what are you trying to do? You're trying to help the vine and the trees grow. That's what you're doing. In fact, we saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, was it, that even planting and pruning and with seeds or grafting, they're all one thing. So certainly the different types of pruning could have been seen as one general act. But in Shvius, in the laws of Shemitah, we seem to distinguish between them. Take a look at source number three, which is a Gemara we've seen again and again and again. I'm sure we'll continue to see it again and again and again. This is the Gemara which is defining what malacha is asur midioraita on during the Shemitah year. And first, it says it's only the big four, right? The big four mentioned in the Torah. But then the Gemara challenges that with the Braita, which has a very long laundry list of things you can't do during Shemitah, and it relies on Psukim. Ultimately, the Gemara says these are all Derabbanan. But it's definitely worth noting what they are. So let's look. Atanya, Sacholit Tizrava Karmachalos is more. Ainli Ela Zirua Vizimor. That just refers to planting and pruning. What about nichosh? I think it means removing weeds. Idor is like is hoeing versus plowing. Kisuach is, I believe, I'm actually forgetting as of now. We just saw Rashi say kisuach is similar to prunes. I think it's all pruning. I think it's also removing unnecessary growth from the ground in order for the plants to grow better from the ground. Hamalomar sachalo karmachalo. Everything, all the types of malacha in your vineyard, all the types of malacha in your field, it's not just Ziru and Zimor. The law, fine. Minayan, here's where it's interesting. I'm not going to translate those words for now. How do you know you can't do Kirsum or Zirid or Pisug be'ilan? Tamalomar, sachalo, karmachalo. So how do you know you can't lay out fertilizer? The aim mitharkin. You can't remove. But what are you removing? Well, it's probably going to be something from the tree, which most of the parshim say. The aim avkin, the aim ashim ilon. You can't either put dust in the tree according to some of the parshim or attach the cracks in the tree together. Avak Ma'afkin is a discussion. It's all right. Ma'ashim Be'ilon, most of the Farshim say means you're sort of creating smoke near the tree to kill all the insects that damage it. Tamalom Rasachalo Kamrachalo. So the Gemara says, you see everything. There's many Dioraisa. So the Gemara says, no. Minerabanan Ukra Asmachta Ba'alma. No. All those are Dirabanan. And this source of karma chalo, sar chalo, is just an asmata. What we see is that while, quote unquote, zimor is deoraita, kirsum, pisug, pirug, zirud, all these things are all derabanan. What are these things and how do they differ from zimor? It's not just that you have more in the Mishnah in Shvius. In Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, and Gimel, we have a bunch of other, a list of other things. Just take a look at the boulder for a second. It's talking about here, Tosefet Shvius. Tosefet Shvius are the things that you can or can't do before Shemitah year, as we've discussed. And it says, Miyavlin Mefarkin, Ashnin HaRosh Hashanah. You could do Miyavlin, which Mefarshim explained as removing a yabelet, a sort of a wart or a disease growth on the tree. You can do that until Rosh Hashanah. And similarly, in the second Mishnah, Mekarsimin Mizardin Mifaslin on Rosh Hashanah. You can do Kirsum, Zirud, and Kisl until Rosh Hashanah. So there are certain activities you can do until Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say you can do Zimor until Rosh Hashanah. That is because Zimor is Dioraita, and all these other things are Dirabana. Take a look at the Tosfos Rosh in source number, sorry, 8 for a second. The Rosh says, in the first part, there's two differences between Dioraitas and Dirabanans. Number one, all the Dioraitas are usher during Tosefes Shvius, but all the Dirabanans are mutter during Tosefes Shvius. Number two, Dioraitas are always forbidden. Dirabanans, even during Shvius itself, will be mutter v'makom hafsid. Right? So you see, it's very important to know what Dirabanan wants Dioraita. So what are all these things? So let's begin by looking at source number five, Rush. The Rush says, actually, I think the Rush is just echoing the point I just made, that only all the things are Rosh Hashanah, are mitzvah until Rosh Hashanah, there are derabanan. Let's take a look at source number six. Rashi is going to define Zimor, Kirsum, and Zirut. Says Rashi in source number six, what Zimor? Mechatech anavim yevishim shel gefen. You are cutting off the dry branches of the vineyard, the branches that are dead. Okay, fair. Mekarsimin hainu zimor. Kirsim is the same as zimor. Elasha kirsim shayach b'ilanot. Kirsim refers to trees. Kirsim refers to trees. Zimor refers to the vine. They're the exact same thing, says Rashi. So for Rashi at this point, why would it be that zimor is Dioraita and Kirsum is Dirabanan? What's the difference? They're the exact same activity, literally the same thing. What's the difference? One's in a karem, one's for other trees. Why does that matter? So the simple explanation is, Rashi would suggest that when the Torah says, karma halot is more, it means karem. It means just the vineyard. That's a simple way to explain Rashi. Rashi continues, Mizardin, Mechatech Anafim Yeveshim Vilachim. So Mizardin, Kirsum, and Zimor were both cutting off dead branches. Zirud, you don't distinguish whether they're dead or they're healthy. You're cutting off many branches, whether they're healthy or they're not healthy, or they're dead, because the tree is being weighed down by the branches. Now this is already an interesting question. So does this mean even for Kerem, Zirud would be different than Zimor simply because you're cutting off more branches? Or is Rashi saying that Zirud also is only for other trees? We'll have to think about that as we move along. But the Kavana, as we'll see, may make a difference. Either way, that is what Rashi says. Similarly, just to look at the Me'iri. The Me'iri also says that Pisug is another type of removing branches from trees. Pisug hu chita kol anfei ilan. It means removing all of the branches from the tree except for those that emanate from the trunk at the top so that it can grow better. Seems very similar to pruning. And then Erie doesn't necessarily distinguish between trees and carrot. And just to, if you look at the rush again, which you saw before, the rush is an interesting, he also quotes the Riven explaining Pisug in a similar way. And he just notes that there's a breakup in the Breitza of the different types of Ilanot, in that the first types are both in a field and a Karen. Group two, Kirsum, Zirin, and Pisug relate to the actual tree, like you're moving things from the tree themselves. And the last one's already away from the tree. Okay. The point being, until now, we have all these different terms. There seem to be subtle differences between exactly which branches you're removing, whether you're removing all the branches, some of the branches, the healthy branches, the sick branches, and also in terms of the Karen versus the other Ilanot. And that might determine whether it's derived or derabana. Okay. But then we have the Rambam. So for Rashi, what we could suggest that the main difference is that only Zimor only applies to the Karen. However, the Rambam sounds like he is rejecting this, because the Rambam in source number 9, Hilchot Shviyah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Bet, says as follows, Eino loke min ha-Torah, ela al-azri'ah, o al-azmirah, va'al-tzirah, al-tzirah. You only get Malkut for the big four, as we said, the Echad HaKaren, the Echad Shara Ilanot, whether it's a vine or other trees. So, for the Rambam, it doesn't seem like we have the option of simply saying it's only for the Karen. The Rambam certainly sounds like it doesn't matter what tree you're doing the Zimor to. It's all De'oraita. Okay, so what do we do about the Rambam? So some Acharonim say, hey, if you look at the Pirush of Mishnayos, the Rambam saves himself. Why? Because what did Rashi say is the same thing as Zimor? Kirsum. Kirsum's the same as Zimor. So Rashi stuck. So Rashi had to distinguish between trees and the vine. However, the Rambam translates it differently. Says the Rambam, Mekarsamin, Kortim hashibalim biyad umashirin ataven. We're not talking about harvesting from trees at all or cutting anything off of trees. We're talking about cutting the stalk and leaving the grain. So it's something completely different. It has nothing to do with trees. Okay, so we're good, right? The Rambam saved himself. So the Rambam doesn't need to distinguish between trees and vines because he doesn't think Kirsum is the same thing at all. Maybe all Zimor is okay. This is what Tosfos said to another. The Farshim explained for the Rambam, okay, the Rambam is good. Not really, because there are other terms in the Mishnah too. It's not just Kirsum. And the Rambam continues. Well, okay, Kirsum we're good with. What about Mizardin? Mizardin, Krisas Hazrudin, Hamisbashin, Min, Hailanos. It's cutting off the Zrudim, which emanate from the trees. Zrudim Shema Nafim Mechrasim Beis Ha Zamir. What are Zrudim? The branches that you cut when you do Zmira, when you do pruning. Okay, the Rambam saves himself by translating the word Kirsum differently, but he says the same exact thing as everyone else does about Kirsum, about Zirud. So we're still stuck. We're still stuck to the Rambam. It's still a problem. Furthermore, Mephaslin, Krisas HaNafim Ayavashim HaNafsadin, cutting off the branches which are dry and dying. Also seems very similar to what Rashi was describing before. So what do we do about the Rambam? We don't have the, it sounds like it's the same exact thing as Zimor, number one. And number two, he still equates Echa Kerem Echa Charilano, so we're stuck. What do we do? This is a problem. So first we have the Egle Tal. And the Egle Tal has a fascinating idea here. And he's sort of brought to it by his Shita. The Egle Tal's Shita is that we should not, generally, this is important for later too, we should not distinguish between Shabbos and Shvius. And he takes the Gemara very seriously when it says that all the toldos of Shabbos are permitted during Shvius. He thinks that literally means the toldos. And he therefore is troubled when there is a difference. The Egle Tal points out that there's something interesting here. Number one, Zomer, as we've already said in the past, is an Av in Shemitah. And Rashi at least thinks it's a tolda on Shabbos. Number two, the Rambam's list also doesn't seem to be the same. Because while the Rambam defines Zomer in a broad way in Hilchot Shabbos, he seems to be much more limited in Shvius. So what do we do? And the Chazish is going to argue that the Rambam and the Rashi really agree. And the point is, it's all a name game. The Eglei Tal argues whether it's D'oraita or D'rabbanan depends on the name you use to identify the action. That's what we care about. It could be the exact same action. If we call one Kirsum and we call one Zimor, that means it's not going to be D'oraita Dan Shviya. Even if it's the exact same thing, it's not about the tree, it's about what people call the action. Take a look at source number 11. The Akra Zomer, is that Dr. Rambam? The Zomer Uav. The Afli and Shviyas, and the Ferb Shah Tavi told, in Rhyme and Shviyas Shabbos. Okay, so actually, maybe what I said was not necessarily true. So he's distinguishing between Shabbos and Shviyas. Ahrashi Kasa Duhavi told. So he points out Rashi and the Rambam sound like they're disagreeing whether Zomer is an Avra told. But Akra Yanir is a machlo kebinayim. Actually, maybe they agree. He makes shalom between Rambam and Rashi. Maybe they agree what's an Am, what's told them. It's all in Indian. Rashi says in Moikatan that Kirsim is the same as Zimor, except one's for vines, one's for trees. That's a problem with the Rambam if they're the same. If Kirsim is the same as Zimor, what about the Rambam? The Rambam thinks that Kerem and Charilanos are the same. Then came to the Rashi. Hana Rashanal, the Kirsim be Ilon Kizimor be Kerem, on a Karsim Mishvias Loke. You should get Malkus for Kirsim. The Moe Katan, maybe Bisham Shashas, Brysa Rucha, the Chashid Harbe Avodosh Mishvias. The Makul Likum Mikra, call Malacha Sheva Sacha, below call Malacha Sheva Karmacha. We have this long list of Malachos in the Brisa that we saw Moi Katan of things you can't do in Shvias. Umach Shminei Hada Amrasham Toldo Shvias Lo Asra Achmana. Umashami Kras Machta. The question is, don't we say that the Toldos are the Rabbanon? We say you're right, these are all the Rabbanon. Brisa Zu Chasha Gan Kaminan Shem Ekarsimin. Mavik Lemi Drashahi. So what do we do? If it's all the Rabbanon, but Kirsten's the same as Zimor, and H is the same as Karen, then why are we distinguishing between them? Why is one biblical? Why is one Deraita? You can't mefarik. The Rambam says mefarkin is also removing branches. It's all the same. Removing the dry bottom. What is Zimor if not Piruk Badim Hayavishim, removing the dry branches of the vine? If so, why don't you get lashes? It's the same thing. And he gives another kasha. Oh, kasha, Mishasham, Hirisharasha, Chahani, Shreen, Rashasham, Mishan, Ishani, Sramatora, the total of Rahmana. The kasha came to Kirsten Hainu Zimor. It's all a problem. Why is it Mutta during Rosh Hashanah? So again, the big problem is, why are all these things mutter if they're all the exact same thing? What's the answer? If according to Rashi, the Rashi would say that it's all the same thing, cutting off the dry branches, not all forms of working trees are biblically prohibited. The toldot him, the ain isra toldot rak betzira zmira diktivi bikra. Only betzira and zmira are biblical. Bishar ilanot lo tivi b'shem acher lahem mesika b'zeisim b'chein kirsum b'ilanos ena me'atorah. Tremendous chiddush by the Eglei Tal. And it's not just about Zimor, it's about even Botzer. We'll give a Botzer shout out now because I think we'll have to leave that till a bit later. But Botzer, which is another biblical prohibition during Shemitah, in certain circumstances, not always, but in certain circumstances, you do it the wrong way. That means picking the fruit from the tree. Says the Eglei Tal, it only will be applied when you call the action Bitsira. But if for instance, from an olive tree, it's called Mesika, even though it's the exact same thing, it's taking the olives from the tree, it's not biblical because there's a different name It's not called a serum. And the same applies to Zemor versus Kirsten. Depends what you call it. Depends what you call it. And therefore, the he ends up saying, why do the Rambam and Rashi disagree? They don't disagree. It's just the Rambam defined the term differently. The Rambam thinks that Zomer is not. Rambam thinks that Zomer is not cutting off the dry tree. The Rambam thinks it's what we would call pruning, cutting off a specific place in the vine to help stimulate plant growth and make the vine more healthy. Rashi thinks it's just removing the dead branches. Therefore, it's more like menakesh. It's like weeding. It's not directly contributing to plant growth. So it's just a name game. Rashi and the Rambam both agree that cutting off the dry branches is derabanan / atolda, but cutting off the appropriate part of the vine in order to stimulate growth, that's the oraita. And everybody agrees, and we can explain this. So that is the Egle Talz Mahalach. It's all a name game. Certainly interesting. If you look at the Minchas Chinuch in Source 12, he actually agrees with the Egle Tal in terms of Zemor, but he's not willing to go as far in terms of Bitzira. Meaning he says, okay, it's not, it can't all just be about the name game, right? Like, just because we have a different word, it's the exact same thing. No, because you see Notea, which the Egle Tal also, everything's the same for Notea, all planting trees are the same, and he doesn't think it's reasonable to suggest that harvesting fruits in one place is going to be derabanan. We don't find any chiluk in the poskim depending on what tree you're harvesting. No one ever said zaytim is derabanan. So he says harvesting, all picking a fruit from trees is bechlal betzira. You have to do it in the kosher shvius way. When it comes to Zemor, it's a little bit different in terms of the exact way you prune, and therefore the different name results in a rabbinic difference. However, not everyone's going to accept this because really, does it really depend on the name game, what people call it, even if there's no substantive difference? It seems a bit off. And therefore you have the Chazon Ish and other later Acharonim trying to explain them, but the Chazon Ish says, no, there, it's similar to what the Minchas Chinuch just said. It's not just about the name. It's also about the actual activity that you're doing, even though it seems similar, but pruning trees and pruning vines are a bit different. You do it a bit differently. He doesn't elaborate at all how they're different, but he says there's it's a bit different the way that you do it. And that's why it's biblically for other trees, midaraita. Meaning what he says is theoretically Zemor, according to the Rambam, might apply to all trees. But it's just practically you would never do quote unquote Zemor to other trees, because that's just not the exact same thing that we call Zemor. It's a bit of a, I would say it's like a classic Brisker sort of, you know, method. You ask a question, what's the difference between Zemor and other trees? Isn't it all the same? And the answer is, you see that they're not all the same. You know, Kamash Malon, there's a din Zemor and there's a din of other things. They're a bit different without explaining why they're different. That's how the Chazon Ish explains this. I'll just look at the bold. He says, El Abala Rabo Char Avoro Zuat HaZemor. Lefisha avodo mishtano b'shinoi kal kigon harisha haviav bechafira idor toldak mogin azimor shalshar lano chalak mizimor gethem mitzad tivavurato. Even though they're basically the same, there's a slight difference in the way that you do it, in the nature of the activity. Just like choresh and oder are very similar, but there's a slight difference in the way that you do it, the implement that you use, or how big the hole is that you dig, or whatever it is. And therefore, one's derabanan, one's deraita. So too, even though Zomer and Kirsim are very, very similar, but one's derabanan, one's deraita. Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, he's actually explaining the Chazon Ish here. I just thought it was very interesting in page 94, and I think it makes a lot of sense, based on what we said at the beginning. Explain this in a much more fundamental way. He says that, no, it's not. Well, he claims to be explaining the Chazon Ish. Again, the Chazon Ish doesn't elaborate at all in terms of what the difference is between Zemor and other things. So I don't know if that's what the Chazon Ish meant, but Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon suggests that, no, that there is a fundamental difference in what you're doing. When you prune a vine, you're really being very careful in determining how much produce you want the vine to grow. It's very particular and it's very related directly to the actual growth of fruits on the vine. Whereas when you prune other trees, it's not the same exact thing. It's more removing the dead stuff and less about, you know, stimulating plant growth directly. Take a look at source number 15. or 14, excuse me. This is 94 in Rav Yosef T. Ramon's book on Shemitah. Klomar pelatas mirasha otas ratora b'kol rak b'kinit. I think it's to say b'kanim. Himahave chelak merkazi mitalok gilan. But the zmira that the Torah forbid is only practically applicable to the vine, the grapevine, because pruning the grapevine is a fundamental part of the growth process. Hazmira gurement the gilot anafim chadashim. Pruning causes the growth of new branches. Bizuhi darka shalha megadel. Likvoa et kamut ha'eshkolot chenetiv ha'gefen bo'oto shana. That is the way of one who is growing grapevines to determine how many clusters the vine should grow the next year. Pruning other trees just strengthens the tree. Right? It's different fundamentally from why or the goal of pruning vines. Now, as there might be a big difference, according to Yosef Tzvi, and I end up being a chumrah. Because while he's saying other trees are different because it's not as fundamental, if we happen to find other trees where the pruning did play a similarly fundamental role, it's possible that according to Yosef Tzvi, those indeed would be the oraita. However, what he's suggesting is that no, pruning by in terms of vines is fundamentally different, and that's why it's biblical. Shabbat Haaretz, or Cook, also has a huge leniency in terms of pruning. And what he suggests is that the pruning we do nowadays isn't Zmira at all, because again, Zmira means something very particular. Take a look at source number 15. Has Mira Hanahuga Tzlenu Dehainu Shakortin at Kohanafin Mishrin Raka Gavagatha. Right? The pruning that we have in our time, that we cut all the branches and only leave the actual vine itself. Now, I haven't trained Yvonne recently, so whether this actually describes what people who grow vines do or not, I guess you could ask Chaim or your local Orthodox vine grower. But Rav Cook is claiming we're not as particular anymore. We just cut all the vines off and we prune a vine. And that's not Zmira. Nira she'ina has grass from Torah. Elohim yatoldo. Nira she pisol. It's pisol. It's not Zmira. Like by the Luchot, where Moshe forms for himself from the remnants of the broken shards a new pair of Luchot. You cut all the branches off. Cut them all off so that the branches can be thicker, right? The tree can get thicker and more healthy. Oh, when the bartender says that you're doing it so that the tree is stronger, it doesn't really mean that. Even if it's to allow the tree to live longer, that's also not zimor. That's also pisol. The claim is Rav Cook. Zmira means you only cut off a specific part of the vine, not all of it, and not all of them. That's what's a biblical prohibition. Everything else is not biblical. Therefore, says Rav Cook, everything today that we do is derabbanan, and that's a huge kula. And he's even he's willing to go as far to say that maybe it's even mutter. Because since it's derabbanan, you could argue that it's l'ukume ilana, it's not positively stimulating plant growth, but rather simply there to defend the tree. And maybe it's even mutter. But then he says, I don't need to go this far because either way we have the heter mechira, okay. But that's for Cook's, it's really a huge leniency. Nevertheless, not everybody accepts this. You look at the Sefer Shemitah in source 16, I think it's actually, this is Rav Yechiel Melchel Tkachinsky, I think this is actually quite problematic because he sounds like he's just arguing on the Gemara. And he doesn't really deal with it. He just notes it in a footnote and says, I don't know, like against the Gemara. But he says as follows, in source 16, however you cut a branch or a shoot from any tree, no karen, on all trees, such that it will grow better or it will become healthier, because pruning contributes to the growth of the tree and the grapevine. Isser is married to Ganefim, who bane and coats Ganefim, Shalap Peter El Elon. Whether you're cutting down the trees that they shouldn't weigh down on the branches, they shouldn't weigh down on the tree. Bane Shakotis is on Echam Ben Shnayim, where you're cutting one branch from two so that there's room, so they hoop themselves out, not too close to each other. Oshe quotes to Ganefim Mekokal, or you cut a ruined branch, and he quotes the Mishnah, which lists Kirsum, Zero, Peace, and all those things. Oshe Chodei Rosh Ganefim, you cut the top of the branch, which is Kotmim. Or even what we do to cut them until the knob. Even when you cut it in order to help with grafting, it's all who cares exactly how you're doing it? You're helping the tree grow. Now I think that's great logically, but it's against the Gemara. He quotes all the things the Gemara just said are derabanan. So I don't understand. I just don't understand how he deals with it. It seems like it's derabanan. But that's what he holds. Nevertheless, it sounds like Lamaisa, we are pretty lean in this regard. I just want to give credit to Matang Vidai, who is a Ram, who at least writes shirim for VBM. He has a great shir on this, and he argues as follows. To enter us number 17, I gave you the link. Amram Lamasa Mikubal Yocha, pieces of Soka Pidarkam Shachaz Nish Barakuk. It's more accepted to follow the ruling of the Chaznish for a cook. Cherokti tazanatim adomem mamash is mirah gefen asurim in a Torah. Nitin gam gvoa mahu amathina kresh is mirah gefen. Sorry. That only tazanatim that is just like cutting a vine is biblically prohibited. He says, we understand why. Nitin gam gvoa mahu amathina kresh is mirah gefen. We can determine what the quality, the main quality of cutting a vine is. We can determine what is biblically prohibited. What makes it in Isser Dioraita and similar to that of the vine is that from the part that you leave on the vine, new branches or shoots will grow, which that year will produce new fruit. And he says, the gizum anthea kiwi. Like a kiwi is very similar, apparently. Again, like I've never done it before, but apparently you do a similar thing whereby you cut part of the branches on the kiwi tree, vine, shrub, I don't know, whatever it is, tree, the kiwi tree. So you cut off part of the kiwi tree, only part of it, not all of it, and then new branches sprout and they grow better fruit. It's very similar, and it does that year. Okay, that's Harbe Poskim with Mr. Torah. So that's Ramatan Gidari's point that it's specific quality to Zimor Begefen, which makes it biblically prohibited. And we should refrain from any sort of Zimor, which is similar to that, but other types of trees, which are it's not similar, even if they contribute to plant growth, are not going to be Dioraita. So that's in terms of defining Zimor. Any questions or comments so far? Everyone good? Okay, so the next thing I want to discuss, and I don't know if I'll finish it this time, maybe. Depending, either I'll finish with a brief recording or we'll have some this year next time, is the notion of kavana. We've already discussed a number of times that the motivation for why you're cutting or you're pruning may make a big difference. It may matter why. And the question is, what role should kavana play specifically in Zimor and generally during Shvius? Let's just start off by asking a basic question. Do you think kavana should matter in terms of melechet shviyit? And if so, why should it matter? What do you think? Just generally in halacha, why does kavana matter?
I'd say no. I'd say the intent, what you do is what's going to make a difference.
Okay, so Bahar says it doesn't matter. Okay, I would hear that. When in halacha does kavana matter?
Shabbos.
Shabbos, it matters. Yes. So one reason, so in Shabbos, you have a very big emphasis on the intent and why you're doing it, right? And you could distinguish between two types of lack of kavana. One is davar she'ino mekavin, where you actually don't intend for one of the results of your action. You have one action with two different results, right? That might be very relevant here. What if I take off part of the tree because I want that part of the tree? Not because I want to prune the tree, but it also helps with plant growth. Is that Zimor or not? There's another type of davar she'ino kavana issue in Shabbos, and that is malacha shantriach lagufa, where I'm doing only one action. This is how most rishonim define it. I'm doing one action, but there's different reasons or goals in doing that action. And on Shabbos, the reason that I'm doing it, the goal that I want to accomplish by performing the action makes difference. Should it matter for Shemitah? What if I am doing one thing, but I'm doing it for a different purpose?
So when you say malacha shein atzricha legufa, so that would be comparable, I think, to the distinction you just made earlier in the shir, whether it's for increasing and multiplying the fruit or it's for the health of the tree.
Right. 100%. I agree. You would think so. You would think that would be similar. The only other thing to say, though, and you had this in Shabbos too, and the question would be, so let me take a step back. If you would argue that those things matter in Shviyas, that would be a general argument for all Malachas Shviyas, that your Kavana matters. However, even in Shabbos, there are specific Malachot which require a unique intention, right? So, for instance, we're going to see that the Torah quote says, Zomer v'tzorech le'etzim is chayev shtayim. That if you prune and you need the wood, you are liable for both kotzer, harvesting, and zomer. Now, why does it say you need the wood? Tosfot and Mefarshim explain that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is mechayev malacha shein tzriach lagufa, will tell you that it's not considered harvesting unless you want what you're removing from the tree. That part of kotzer is that you intend to get the fruit. Otherwise, it's not that it's not malacha shein tzriach lagufa, you're missing the character of the malacha. So it's possible that even aside from malacha machashevet, which we have on Shabbos, that there's a unique havana to zimun. So let's see. We begin with this Gemara in Sanhedrin in source number 18. The Gemara here gives us a story. Rechiyabar Zeruniki Rabbi Shimon bo yotzedek havi ka'azla abrashana ba'asya. So Rechiyah and Rabbi Shimon are traveling, and they are going to be ma'aber the shana, to make a leap year. Hagabu Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish bumps into them. Itful Badai. He starts talking to them. Amar Isla Chichi Hichi Avdi Yuvda. Right? He wants Shimosh. He wants to know. You know, I've never seen Basin be ma'aber a shana before. Let me go look. I'm sure it's very interesting. Right? Easy one. He wants Shimosh. Chazilu Gavr the Kakarev. He saw someone plowing. And it's the Shemitah year. The context of the Gemara is a certain leniency actually toward doing work during Shemitah to avoid taxes. So he sees someone plowing. Amrlan, Kohen, Choresh. What is this, a Kohen? The Gemara. Who's that? Pay taxes, right, exactly. Not avoid taxes, right. Avoid the penalty of not paying taxes. Thank you. Yeah, we want to pay the taxes. So he's doing Choresha. So he says, is he a Kohen? Apparently there was a notion that Kohanim were Chashudim al Shvius. So why is this guy plowing? Is he a Kohen? He doesn't care about halacha Shemitah. So Amar lo yachalom or agiston ani b'tochosh. Rashi is a sacher. He could say it's not his field; it's someone else's field. He's working for that person. Two deos in Rashi. One is that he's working for a non-Jew. Maybe that's okay. Or he's working for a Jew, but because of the problem of taxes, he has to do it so that the Jew can pay the taxes, and it's okay. Fine. Not our concern for now. We did a choresh earlier. Chazelu gav de kakare. Excuse me. Chazu su chazu gav de have a kosach bekarmi. Then he saw someone doing kisuach for the karen. And here Rashi says kisuach means zimor. I'm sorry I didn't bring it for you. Amr lahen, kohen de zamar. And I think Mara says too. What is he? He's doing zimor? It's fias. Hey, it's a biblical prohibition. Chas v'shalom lomar ka. Stop him. Amr lo yachal lomar la'akel beit habar. I need it for my olive press. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Akal, the dorta. He wants the vine. The branch of the vine. He needed to tie down his olive press. How a vine would be useful for helping you use your olive press, I'm not sure, but Chaim is planning on doing a wonderful olive press demonstration in the near future, and so maybe he can demonstrate to us how a vine might be helpful in that endeavor. Anyways, the point is, he wanted the vine. He didn't want to prune the tree. He wanted the branch from the vine, the zimora. He wasn't interested in pruning. Okay, that's nice. Should that matter? Evidently so. Evidently it does matter. Just to finish the Gemara here. Amalo hemalev yodeya im lakakim akakot. So Rosakis says, sort of, sarcastically, look, well, okay, only the heart knows whether his intention is la'akel for the zmora, for using his alapres, or la'akalkalot, as Rashi explains, to sort of violate halacha. Meaning, like, it depends. It depends on his kavana. That's what it sounds like. Okay, you're giving him dam lekav zechor tamat rosor, says Rishakish. But it certainly sounds like the kavana matters. And most of the mefarshim all say that this is the case. Rabbi Hananel here in source 20 says it's not avoda because it's the akal beit habad and yitzarech lekshor. Says the Meiri in source number 21. Hazmira mi surin hamurin shebishviyesi. Mira is one of the stringent prohibitions on shviyes. It's explicit in the Torah. Mikom makom in zamar shalo lekavanat avoda ela shazmora tzrichalo laakel betavav peyotibo. If you prune without the intention of working the vine, but rather because you need what you're cutting off, that's okay. Beyizaher shalo yarim balev yodem laakel akalkalo retzam laavu mishiyadav laavu mitzotera. You have to know you can't have an aroma be tricky or facetious in your intention. No, be honest. If you really do want to prune, you're just saying you want the vine, that's not good enough. Fine. Certainly sounds like it's a biblical prohibition, if not for the fact you don't have kavana. And the question is going to be why. So that's how most Mefarshim look at this. However, Tosfot and Shabbos and Sanhedrin are bothered. They do not like this idea. And that is because of the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, Zomer b'tzorech le'etzim ayav shtayim. The Gemara in Shabbos says, if you prune a tree and you need the wood, you're liable for both. You're liable for both. Kotzer and Zomer. So why wouldn't it also be Zomer? Now, how might you answer that question, given what we've seen until now? How might you answer the question from Shabbos? Again, Tosos looks in Sanhedrin, sees, I don't get it. He's saying, la'akel ani tzarech, but that doesn't matter. In Shabbos, we say, if you're zomer b'tzorech le'etzim rechayev shtayim. What might you answer to this question? All the Mefarshim say in Sanhedrin that you're only not chayev because you aren't intending to prune. Maybe you could suggest that it depends on your kavana. Maybe that's what you could suggest. Well, Tosos doesn't like that. Number one, Zomer, I guess, sounds like you have kavana. Number two, Tosos generally holds. It doesn't make a difference in Shvius. We actually saw this in Chabura a few weeks ago. You had it in Moekhan Yigud Amin Aleph. You're going to have it in this Tosos also. Tosos doesn't think Meleches Masheves is necessary for Shvius. Your kavana does not play as integral a role as it does in Shabbos. That's Tosos' Shita. Therefore, he's very bothered. Says Tosos in source number 22. Zomer tzorech le'etzachai shayim. Hagar perek zibazaborer. Shuchaz yelu gav to have a kakasah. Omer lekom bezomer. Omer yachol. Omer la'akal be'tzavani tzorech. Right? The guy responds, I'm not doing it to prune. I only want to use it for my olive press. Af agav dehacha omer chayim mishinoteya. Even though here he said chayim mishinoteya. Hasamari b'chiyai gav me'she'ina yim mekakim mekach el mekalkel. No, it's not about the kavana, says Tosfos. It's about the effect and of your actions. What you're doing there, it's not simply that you only intend to have this mora and to harvest that. You also are harming the vine. You're doing it in a way that it doesn't help the growth of the vine. You have to mess it up. That's what which is going to be a huge nafkin between Tosfos and other mefarshim. In Sanhedrin, Tosfos goes even further. Who cares what your kavana is? You're still improving the vine. Which is interesting phrasing. I would just said zomer. We say, who cares? It doesn't make a difference. Bottom line, you are doing zomer. Yeshlomar de Avidle Boto Inyan de Vade Kashile. De Leka Vachaibo Mishom Noteya. You have to do it in a way that's certainly harmful to it. Kinamin Gabi Shabbos, Ishani Gabi Shabbos, Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. So now, Tosos, so what's interesting here is that Tosos in Sanhedrin goes a step further. In Shabbos, Tosos simply says it's two different cases. In one case, you're harming the plant, in another one, you're not. Here in Sanhedrin, he's not suffice to just simply say that. he has to distinguish between Shabbos and Shvius. And therefore, he says as follows: Shani gabi Shabbos and Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah v'hamis Avda Machshavto. Here, Meleches Machsheves is a chumra. On Shabbos, since there's an idea of Meleches Machsheves, so long as you accomplish what you wanted to, you're liable even if it's harmful. That's what he suggests. We say harmful activity, avoda, during shvius is not liable, and that's why it's okay, but it's not simply because of your kavana. So we have a very big argument here. How important is the kavana for zomer and shvius? Meiri and many other mefarshim are suggesting it's very important. Without the kavana, if you just want the eitzim, you are not chayiv, whereas Hosfos is suggesting that you are chayiv. At this point, we could suggest maybe it's an argument about whether or not Meleches Machsheves is required for Shvius, right? It's not simply a question of what you're doing, but why you are doing it. You need to have a thoughtful act in order to be chayiv in Shvius, whereas Hosfos says, no, you don't. You don't. It's not about Meleches Machsheves. It's the voda. Avoda se'ila rosh karka. I don't care how thoughtful you are. Bottom line is, did you improve the plant or not? If you did, you're chayiv. Now, in terms of explaining this chiluk, you have a few interesting ideas in the first one that I want to sort of note here. So Chachma Shlomo is bothered because it's interesting. Should it really be so that on Shabbos, Mekalkel is chayiv? We know Mekalkel is not chayiv on Shabbos. That's another ruling of itself. It has to be productive labor on Shabbos too. So Chachma Shlomo says as follows. Pirish in verse 24. Afagad the kashile she's kalker yoter mikomako me'at so me'ach ruknoteya. It depends on whether you look at the overall effect on the plant or whether you're looking at each distinct effect. Meaning, on shvius, since on the whole the what you're doing is harmful to the tree, therefore you are putter. On Shabbos, we can't say that. Even if it's generally, quote-unquote, more harmful, if in a specific way it's helpful, meaning, for instance, you remove a part of the branch which is weighing the tree down, but you remove too much of it, right? So the Chachma Shlomo argues that that is going to be chayiv on Shabbos, because even though in one sense you were harmful, since in one sense you were helpful, that is enough for Malacha. And Maram Shik says something similar in his first answer. Right, he says, "Avotosha shayin nira the lo sagbatir zeh the kashlum came my sagadai der sakish tachashul agavra." He says Tosfos wasn't satisfied by simply saying, "Oh, it's just totally harmful." Because if that's so, why was Rish Lakish yelling at the guy for doing it? If it's just totally harmful, of course that's not malacha. But lakach hukachu ukme begam de molel mitzash biish hezek yoter me revak agon shayadei hachasicha notla notem yivishim tuba. You took too many trees off. Branches off of the tree. So they were preventing the growth, but you took too many off. You cut it too close to the ground. It's similar to where Tosfos says that if you shecht an animal for Avodah Zarah on Shabbos, even though you get no benefit from it because the shechita is invalid, nevertheless, it's still considered shochet because ultimately you were shochet the animal. Because the Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Okay? But the second answer I thought he said was very interesting. Inami Shlomar Demukila Dehashmaita Kasak Efanim Ad Samach La'aret. Maybe what you're doing is you cut the vines very close to the ground. That harms it. He quotes Mishai and Shishu in a second. So what did you do? It was bad in terms of the vines, but there's another avodah. Basically, what you did was you straightened the ground. You cut the vine off completely, but you straightened the ground. And that's quote-unquote avodas karka. Right? It's a type of harisha, I think you would say. He says, on shvius, that's their abanan. On Shabbos, that's their raisa. It's not any of the big four on shvius, but on Shabbos, it's still avodah sa'aretz, and therefore, chayiv. They ask an interesting question. Why is it a psikrisha? He says, He's willing to say on Shvius, if it's Dirabanan, even if it's a psik reshe, it's going to be mutter. Psik reshe on Dirabanan Shvius is mutter, in terms of the Kavana issue. Okay, so the point is we have this argument. We have, however, and I guess we'll end with this, other sources which seem to indicate that there is a type of Zimor that is mutter. And the question is why it's mutter, and one helpful explanation is going to be that the reason it's mutter is because of your kavan. Says the Mishnah in Perikal, Mishnah, and Hey and Vav. We have a number of examples of cases where what seems like happening is you're doing some sort of pruning, and yet it's mutter if you do it in a certain way. Number one, Hamidul Bazaitin, Mitchame or Mim Yago, Mitil or Mim Yisharej. A person who is, we won't translate Midal for now. You're being Midal Bazaitin. Beit Shammai says you have to cut you can't cut the whole thing off of the olive tree, only part of it. Beit Shammai says, no, Yisharesh, you can totally uproot it. What is Midal? Take a look to verse number 27. The Rash Mishan to the Mishnah. Lashon dildol shemadal del sadeim nazesim. Kimifaresh ha-zeitim mikarev and yotar midai. The olives are too close to each other. No tel echad, you take some. You're removing olives from the olive tree so the rest of the olives grow better. Again, sounds to me at least like some form of zimor, whether deraisa or derabanan. It seems like it should be usher. And not only that, the Rosh says that it is mutter, even though you're doing it, the tree grows better. Which is fascinating. Similarly, you make a hole in the olive tree. Don't cover it with dust, but cover it with stone. You cut off branches of the shikma tree. Why can you cut the branches off the sycamore tree? What's going on? If that's what a shikma is, we weren't sure. But why are you letting it do that? Why can you do any of these things? Mishnah Vav. Hamizane bagifanim. What's mizane? Pirish aruch mekatzis mitzas hanafin, cutting off some of the branches. Why are any of these things mutter? The Rosh doesn't tell us. He just says you can do it. And you change the way that you do it and you make it look like it's not avodah. But why isn't it avodah? The Rambam member is very consistent in saying, you know why it's mutter? Because you don't have havanas smira. That's why. Look at source number 28. Why are you cutting off these parts of the olive tree for the wood? Similarly, for the wood, Rambam tells us again and again, you can't have kavanas zimor. Once you don't have kavanas zimor, then it is permissible. And that's what the Rambam says. And the Teferi Strong Source 30 argues that he doesn't understand. Says the Teferi Yisrael, I'll leave you this question. Hamizane bagafanim, nearly shim de mizane, eno mikamo mizamer. Mizane, that term cannot mean pruning. Dim lo tim hachi hechi shari bekiva ashik venatol eitzin. Akapanim ikam isha marasayim. Number one, it's marasayim. But od hari davar she eno mizchavinu upsik reisha asu kuleyama. It's a psik reisha. Who cares about your kavana? Ultimately, you're still doing pruning. It's what happens. Why do we care? Ultimately, the geffen will improve, and it's geffenim, right? It's divine. Ultimately, the geffen will improve, even if you don't have the kavana. For malacha deraita. Lo damu masakim sofim. El zomer v'shachodei rosh hageza. Mizane kotein ha'pemetzad. No, you have to say mizane if isn't zomer. We asked a good question. The question is that I think I'll leave you with, and I guess I'll discuss Rabbi Yochi, either we'll agree to just start with this a few minutes next time, or I'll make a quick recording. How do we answer for the Rambam? If indeed it should be a psik reshe, and the answer is going to be, what role does Kavana play? Is it necessarily a Melechas Masheves idea? Is the point that it can't be Mitchavein, or it's Melechas Shein Shvi'ach L'Gufa, or maybe there's something specific to Zimor which requires Kavana? And that's what the Chazon Ish is going to argue. Okay, so we'll discuss Zimor very briefly. what it applies to, what actions, what trees, and whether kavana is necessary. Hopefully we'll conclude that discussion next time.